Good morning.
Good morning.
I think I'm on. I'm not sure. Am I coming in, John? Okay. All right. Let me say to start with that Doc Pickle, you made my day. Thank you so much for sharing. I've been, the last 2 days, we have attended, my wife and I have attended the gospel picnic in Silver Dollar City. They've been having gospel groups from all over the United States are coming to Silver Dollar City from a couple of days ago all the way through September the 2nd. They will have a different group of singers every day. And I want to say, and I mean this with all of my heart, that this young man who sang for us today can sing right with those good gospel groups. And you blessed my soul, and I thank you for it. Wow, what a message he has shared with us today. If we were to sing the invitation and be dismissed, it all been worth your being here just to hear Brother Doc share. But I have a message to share with you. And it's kind of a different type of message. And you see the title before you there. And we're going to look at that text of Scripture in just a moment. But before I start this morning, I don't have a story, but I've got some trivia for you, and I want to test your knowledge of Noah and the Ark and see how well you do. So I have some questions for you. First of all, in the group that gathered at the ark, there were two bears. And these bears had lost their teeth. They'd lost all their teeth. So what do you suppose Noah called the bears? Think with me. What do you suppose he called the bears that lost all their teeth? He called them gummy bears. You can tell that one to your grandkids. They'll like that. I have more. What kind of lighting did Noah have on the ark? What kind of lighting did Noah have on the ark? Floodlights! Don't you know? Everybody should know that. It gets worse. Where did Noah keep his bees? Where did he keep his bees? Do you have a clue? Well, where else but the archives? I have one more. I know you're sitting on the edge of your seats and you can't hardly stand it. Why didn't Noah go fishing when he was on the ark? Why didn't he go fishing while he was on the ark? He only had two worms. Well, so much for that stuff. Now you've learned a lot concerning Noah and the ark. Now I'm not preaching on Noah and the ark, but we're going to share with you a message from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and we're going to share with you this message entitled, God's Great Lettuce Salad. And so when we're reading the text, look for the different leaves of lettuce in the text, okay? Just pay attention as we read the text, and we're going to begin with verse 19, and we're going to read several verses, so just pay close attention and notice the leaves of God's lettuce in this text of Scripture. They're real obvious. Beginning with verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. Boy, that's a good bit of information right there. And we could preach just the sermon on that verse alone. But we're going to consider the rest of the text. By a new and living way, which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Wow, what a passage of Scripture. What a powerful passage of Scripture. No old covenant worshiper would have been bold enough to try to enter the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. Even the high priest entered the Holy of Holies only once a year. And the thick veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was a barrier between people and God. And only, think about this, only the death of Jesus could tear that veil in half and open the way into the heavenly sanctuary where God dwells. This open way into God's presence is new, as our writer says here in this text. Is recent, it's fresh, and not a part of the old covenant that waxeth old and is ready to be taken away. It is a living way, because Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us. Aren't you thankful? Christ is the new and living way. And true to His prediction, He said, I am the way, And without Him, there is no going. I am the truth, and without Him, there's no knowing. And I am the life, and without Him, there's no living. We come to God through Him, our high priest over the house of God. And when His flesh was torn on the cross and His life sacrificed, God tore the veil in the temple. This symbolized the new and living way now opened for all who believe. Make no mistake about it. We enter with boldness into the holy place on the basis of two key factors. Number one, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And second, we have a high priest who's priest over the house of God, who is Jesus Christ. Ancient Israel cowed down before Jehovah God, and rightly so. God was an imposing figure, and to look upon God meant death. They had a definite fear of Almighty God. To even think about approaching the presence of God stirred their heart to cover their face and to hide in the cleft of the rock and to back off at a safe distance. We picture them, don't we, at the Mount Sinai, trembling before the glowing face of Moses, who had been in the presence of Almighty God when He came down from the mountain. He glued before them. Notice it says in the text, we enter the holy place with boldness. It means confidence and courage and an attitude of openness stemming from freedom and a lack of an unintimidating fear. It is freedom to draw close to God without fear of being consumed or rejected. What a privilege, what a joy. As a member of the body of Christ, you can come into the presence of God to obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. And that's such good news. Ah, but don't ever forget, the Spirit leaves no question about it. The means through which we entered the presence of the Almighty is by the blood of the Lamb. Expressions that paint the picture for us include He poured out His soul unto death, Isaiah 53:12. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, according to Philippians, the 2nd chapter and verse 8. He, that is God, hath made Him to be sin for us, that we may no longer be sinners, in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 21. And no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down, Jesus said, by myself. He laid down His life for you and for me by Himself, John 10 and verse 18. And we have been made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Ephesians 2 and verse 13. We have been redeemed from empty and vain way of life received from our fathers by Christ's blood. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold and vain conversation received in tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, verses 18 through 19. In further elaboration of this redemption, the Spirit testifies, in whom we have redemption through the blood and forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Talk about a high price. Talk about the love and the grace of God. It is seen in the old rugged cross. You were right on, brother. You were right on. Well, with all that in mind, talk about a stimulus. Talk about a stimulus. His sacrifice. You don't ever forget, do you, that Jesus gave it all so that we might be able to go to heaven through Him. Well, I want you to consider with me God's great lettuce salad in view of these truths that I shared with you already. But we need to pray about it. And then we'll share with you each leaf of God's great salad today. Would you bow with me? Oh Lord, I do truly thank you for this time we've spent together already and the good message that has been received through this song service of those who've led us in this song service. I thank you for them. And for Doc Pickle, thank you so much for his testimony in song today as he shared with us a great truth concerning Jesus Christ's death on the cross for us. Oh, where would we be without Jesus? Thank you so much for his blood, which he gave for us. Now, as we look at your text and as we consider these truths together today, may they be a comfort and encouragement to us and a challenge to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget this same Jesus acted as our great high priest over the house of God and ever intercedes for us even to this very moment. He is a mediator for us, a promise to Christians to save saints. We can approach the throne of God in grace constantly and consistently through this great priest. A faithful saintly lady was near death, and a friend of hers called upon her local parish priest to come and to speak a word of comfort upon her deathbed, and he meant well and offered her absolution from her sins. Well, that dear godly lady asked. She asked the priest, "Son, show me your hands." And he did, and she said, "I'm sorry, my son, but the priest who forgives my sins has nail scars in his hands." She was right. It is not an earthly priest or a preacher that absolves you from your sins. The only priest that will do is the great high priest, Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? It is with this we approach the holy place today, tomorrow, and forever with great confidence and boldness. With these truths in mind, then we have been called to give attention to three specific leaves of God's great salad. Did you notice them when we read them? They're right there in the text. The first one is, let us draw near in verse 22. Let us draw near. Talk about confidence in our salvation. There it is. You may be surprised to know how many saved Christians are insecure about their salvation. Ask any group of Christians, young or old, this question. If you were to die tonight, would you go to heaven? And immediately you have those in the crowd who are in doubt about their saved status. It could be that their fear is connected with some sin that they are struggling with. It may be that they are in a state of limbo spiritually, lacking enthusiasm for Jesus and the church. It may be that they have this frying pan mentality about salvation. Today I am, tomorrow I'm not, and that is saved. Jumping in and out of the frying pan based on their feelings. Today I feel good about Jesus, therefore I'm saved. Tomorrow I'm not with it, and so my salvation is in doubt. Others base their salvation upon their performance state with the Lord. At the moment, I'm active in the church. I attend all services. I read my Bible. I do all the right things. I visit the sick. I pray for those who are persecuted. Again, I feel good about my religion, so I am saved. You may wonder if it is even possible to be sure of your salvation or not. I sure hope so, people say. You know, it's just miserable to go around wondering if you're saved or not. Oh, I want to be sure, and I want to draw nearer, my God, to Thee, but I'm just not sure I can. Did you know the aged Apostle John wrote an entire letter to the church devoted to this theme? And in it, he'll see the phrase, "Hereby we know." You can know with assurance, according to John. And here are some of the things he says. He says, "And by this we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments." The one who says, "I have come to know Him," and does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in Him the love of God is truly been perfected. By this we shall know that we are in Him. You can know. You can be sure. The one who keeps His commandment abides in Him, and He in Him. And we know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given to us. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 24. And the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verse 8. And then John says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. 1 John, the 5th chapter, and verse 2. The marker for our salvation is the sure Word of God, the Bible. Hearing, obeying the precious Word of God places us in a personal relationship with Jesus, who is our salvation. Someone asked Martin Luther, "Do you feel sure that you have been forgiven? He answered, "No, but I'm as sure as there's a God in heaven. If God says so, then it's so." For feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God, not else is worth believing. And so, we have the confidence of our salvation. And then we have the context of our salvation. Here is what the Bible says about our salvation. Romans, the 1st chapter, verse 16. Note these words. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Is the power of God to salvation, the gospel. Acts 4, verse 12. "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved than the name of Jesus." Ephesians 1, verse 13. It says, "In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in Him by the Holy Spirit of promise." You're sealed in Him. 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verse 10 says, "For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus and His eternal glory." Hebrews 5, verse 9, "And having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation." Jesus said, "I'm the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." In Romans, the 10th chapter, and verse 13, it says, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." In Mark, the 16th chapter, and verse 16, it says, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." In Acts 22, and verse 16, "Now why do you delay?" said Ananias to Paul. He said, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord, you can know that things are right between you and the Lord. The author of Hebrews brings all these texts together in this one verse. Let us draw near. There's the lettuce. Let us draw near with a sincere heart. Indeed, the heart is essential to the salvation process. We must believe with the heart. Our whole heart must be in commitment to Jesus. Said to the Lord, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. Anything less is not acceptable. God doesn't need much of a man, but He wants all of that man. In full assurance of faith, it says, knowledge of belief and trust in the person of Jesus Christ, forsaking all, I take Him, hearing, believing, and obeying the Word of God, having our hearts sprinkled clean with an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. In the Old Testament days, the high priest would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice over the mercy seat, signifying the cleansing of the heart for sin. And in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 through 21, take note, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, according to during the construction of the ark, in which few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Acts 22 and verse 16, we are to wash away our sins just like Paul was to wash away his sins. Ephesians, the 1st chapter and verse 7, in Him we have the forgiveness through the blood. In Acts 2 and verse 38, it says, for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Titus 3, the verse 5, it says, a washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit. Down with the old man, up with the new. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6, it talks about our point of grace, where faith and grace meet, contacting the atoning blood of the Lamb. I'm told one of the greatest of all preachers, all 5 foot 6 inches tall of him, preached for many, many years to throngs of people in London's 5,000-seat Metropolitan Tabernacle, and for 40 years in England, Europe, and America. His sermon sold 150 million copies. In addition, he wrote 135 books translated into many languages. Thousands upon thousands became Christians as a result of his wonderful ministry in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it all started for Charles Haddon Spurgeon on May the 3rd, 1851, on his mother's birthday in Lark River. The water and the weather were so cold that a fire was built by the people standing on the banks so that they could warm themselves. Charles, then 16 years old, walked 8 miles that morning to be baptized into Christ, a walk he never regretted and forever remembered. How about you? Do you remember the moment? Do you remember the day? Do you remember the place? Do you remember the blood of the Lamb of God? So there's number one. Let us draw near with a sincere heart and our bodies washed. Isn't that good? I mean, that's good stuff. Let me check the time here. I've got time for two more. You know, I drove here this morning to share this message with you. And I'm going to share it. It's God's word. It's God's word. It's God's will. And if I don't, I've failed. Here's the second lettuce leaf. Let us hold fast. Verse 23. We need to hold fast our confession. That is, stand firm, hold tightly, keep a firm grip on. Other closely related passage is 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and verse 2, which says, "By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Paul says you need to hold fast to the word. Hebrews, the 3rd chapter and verse 6 says, "But Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and boast of our hope firm unto the end." Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verse 14, "For we have been partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end." Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and verse 14, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Our faithfulness to our confession is an essential ingredient to the salvation mix. Don't you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 14, verse 13, "But the one who endures to the end shall be saved." Paul said that we are to work to completion the salvation contract. Philippians 2, verse 12 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in the absence work, out your salvation in fear and trembling." Our confession is more than just words. It is action. Chinese missionary had it right when he noted, "We are to talkie, 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 and walkie, walkie, walkie." "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you." Charles Spurgeon, who I referred to earlier, said, "There are no crown wearers in heaven that were not cross bearers on earth." Not merely the words you say, not merely the deed you confess, but in the most unconscious way is Christ confessed. "For me, 'twas not the truth you taught, to you so clear, to me so dim, but when you came to me, you brought a sense of him. And from your eyes he beckons me, and from your heart his love is shed, till I lose sight of you and see Christ instead." The world needs more demonstration of Christianity than it needs definition. Amen? Holding fast to your confession means staying the course, keeping the faith, standing firm on the Scriptures. But we do that the best by living a loud witness for Jesus Christ. What we need in the kingdom today is more verb Christians and less adjective Christians. As you know, adjectives are descriptive words. Verbs are action words. As salt, we ought to be able to create thirst. We ought to be able to season. We ought to be able to be tasted as light. We ought to be seen. We ought to be felt. We ought to be able to provide a guiding path. Don't just say you believe in Jesus. Let your light so shine that it is obvious what you believe. What do people see in you and me? If you go out and get drunk, if you party just as hard as the other guy and gal, if you talk like a tramp, if you lose your cool at times, if you fall apart every time some trial befalls you, if you disappear when there's a job to be done in the church, what do people see? Peter, you remember, made the bold confession that Jesus talked about. He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." Publicly, Peter denied Jesus three times around the campfire that night of betrayal. Our God is a God of second chances. Thank God He is. Christ gave Peter a chance to reaffirm his love publicly, and he did it three times. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus asked him that, and Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, oh Lord, I know. He said, I love you, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. The third time he said, Peter, do you really love me? Peter says, oh Lord, with all my heart I love you. He said, feed my sheep. Wow. Our God is a faithful God. For he who promised is faithful. Think about it. God has never failed. He has kept every promise, never been late, never failed to show up. His word is sure and true all the time. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He takes care of his children. God is always there. But what can we trust God to do? Faith in God sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. A.W. Tozer warns us to not have faith in faith. Some people are inclined to forget that our confidence is not in the power of our faith, but in the person and the work of the Savior Jesus Christ. Don't lose sight of that. We have full confidence in Jesus Christ. That is the origin and the source and the foundation and the resting place for our faith. Therefore, our confidence rises as the character of God becomes greater and more beautiful and more trustworthy to our spiritual comprehension. To have a relationship, I mean a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what really matters. I'm here to tell you, if God says it, I know it is so, and it will happen just as He said. Who or what are you trusting in, my friend? None of us know what the future holds, but we surely know that God knows and He holds our hand. Corrie ten Boom said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Robert Ketchum tells of a Sunday school teacher who asked her group of children if anyone could quote the entire 23rd Psalm. A gold-haired 4.5-year-old girl was among those who raised their hands. A bit skeptical, the teacher asked her if she could really quote the entire Psalm. The little girl came to the rostrum, faced the class, made a perky little bow, and she said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. How about you? Well, that brings us to the last leaf. Have we got time for it? Got one more. And listen, you know, if I'm preaching too long, you know, I'm going to be leaving here in a little while. I don't have to come back. But I want to. I'm here for a reason. And I believe in what the Lord's Word says, and I care about you people. And this matters. So the last leaf is this. Let us consider how to stimulate one another. Verses 24 through 25. That is, let us stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Oh boy. Is this like trying to bring out the best in people for the good of all? We are even told to love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. You know, by the way, that verse alone would change America. Have you thought about it? I don't know what your politics are, whether you're Democrat or Republican, but that verse alone, if our political leaders would practice it, would change America for the good forever. You know, we just need to go back to the Word of God to make things better in America. You probably heard the discontented church member who stormed out the door and said to the preacher sarcastically as she was going out, she said, "I'll pray for you." To which the minister said, "Great! I need the prayer and you need the practice." Now, I'm not sure that either had the right attitude in that story. Paul would say in Romans the 12th chapter and verse 21, here's what he said. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We gather here Sunday after Sunday in part to inspire one another to love and good deeds. How can we do this? Speak positively about one another. That's one thing. Focus on the good in others more than the negative. There is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the rest of us that it hardly becomes any of us to talk about the rest of us. Perhaps once in 100 years a person may be ruined by excessive praise, but surely once every minute someone dies inside for lack of it. So work at that. Set a good example. Children have more need of models than critics. Train up a child in the way he should go, the Bible says, and go that way yourself. Forever point them to Jesus. Help others to understand and follow Jesus better, the perfect model of love and goodness. And then the last thing I would say to you today is encourage. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as is the habit of some, but meet to encourage one another. I'm so glad I came today because Doc Pickle encouraged me as much or more than anybody else, and I thank him for it. I meant it when I said you made my day. Why do you come to worship here in this place? Obviously, we come to build up, to personally gain and grow in Jesus, to be lifted up, to be served, to learn, to be refueled, to have our fires rekindled and our batteries charged. I've been trying to charge your battery this morning. I hope I've done that. But we also hope you come to offer praise, to offer your comfort to others, to offer encouraging words, to pray for others, to commune, to serve, and to help others to grow, to be an inspiration, not only to be inspired. Don't just come week after week and sit and soak and sour, but instead, come to serve and to soar for Jesus. Billy Graham said, churchgoers are like coals in a fire. When they cling together, they keep the flame aglow. When they separate, they die out. You know, the beautiful thing about the assembly is that usually we come and serve expecting to bless others and end up being blessed ourselves. The best spent hours of your week are these. I'm going to tell you a story real quickly and then I'll have you out before noon, for sure. There's a wonderful story about Jimmy Durante. How many of you remember Jimmy Durante? one of the great entertainers of a generation ago. He was asked to be a part of a show for World War II veterans. He told them his schedule was very busy and he could afford only a few minutes, but if they wouldn't mind his doing one short monologue and immediately leaving for his next appointment, he would come, of course, and the show director agreed happily. When Durante got on stage, something interesting happened. He went through the short monologue and then stayed. He didn't leave. And the applause grew louder and louder, and he kept staying. Pretty soon he had been on for 15 minutes, and 20, then 30. Finally he took a last bow and left the stage. Backstage, someone stopped him and said, "I thought you had to go after a few minutes. What happened?" Jimmy answered, "I did have to go, but I can show you the reason I stayed. You can see for yourself if you'll look on the front row. In the front row, there were two men, two soldiers, each of whom had lost an arm in the war. One had lost his right arm, the other had lost his left. And together they were able to clap. And that's exactly what they were doing. Loudly and clearly." We're here for a reason. We need each other. You need me, I need you. We need each other. God's great lettuce salad. Let's stand. I have a closing hymn here. Come on, girls. Doc. This be an opportunity for you to think of your own life in Christ, and all of us can grow. All of us can be a little better. All of us can be more dedicated. See that in yourself. And as we sing, I pray that's what will happen in your heart. I've decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
Prayer requests. Okay. Any prayer requests? Either side. Yes. Praise the Lord for Desiree. Dot is not too far out from having hip surgery. What's the date exactly? You can be praying in advance for her surgery. Anybody else over here? Over here. Any prayer requests? Yes. We'll go.
I'll have my little surgery September 3rd.
Okay, September 3rd. Debbie. Anybody else have anything else to pray about? Pray for my son. He's still not got a job, and he's looking for a job. And we would like, he's had several interviews, so he has had some opportunities placed before him, and nothing has clicked yet. But we pray that he will find a job. His name is Alan Holland. So if you want to put a face on your prayer, Alan Holland, I would appreciate you doing that. I've told him that this church is praying for him. So if you would take some time to call his name and pray, I'm very, very appreciative. Okay, anything else? Okay, let's all stand and we'll have our closing prayer, and then we'll be dismissed.
Holy Father, we thank you for the opportunity of coming here today to surround this table and remember the price that was paid for our sins. We thank you, Father, for Jack and the message he's given us. We thank you for the words of the Bible that we are to encourage and to build one another up and draw closer to you. We ask you to bless those who have been put on the prayer request. Be with those who are on the back of our bulletin, Lord, as we pray for those. Help us to have a great week, and thank you, Lord, for, again, the opportunity to come here, build one another up, worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ I pray. Amen.